tonight I wanted to talk about this because I want individually this to be true of our lives. I want it to be true of my life, but then I want it to be true of our church as well. I want to preach tonight about how our mercy matters. Our mercy matters. And what I wanted to challenge you with tonight was this, just the encouragement that we need to be a Christian who characterizes mercy. We want to be a Christian who characterizes mercy, and that's something we need to show to others, don't we? We need to show mercy. And that might be within the walls of our home sometimes. Have you ever found that to be true, that you've had to show mercy right within your own home to family members from time to time? And then certainly within our church. And we want to show mercy to others around us. And we want that to be a character trait of our lives as a Christian. And we want to realize tonight that, mercy is necessary in our lives. And it's also a good testimony of a Christian, to be a Christian that shows mercy and extends mercy to individuals. But again, we want that to be a character trait of our church as well. We want to be a church that's known to have this character trait of mercy. Let's look, if we would, at Luke chapter number 10 tonight. Now, we've been talking on Sunday mornings about grace, and we know the truth of God's grace and His mercy, and we'll talk about mercy for a few minutes tonight, but we're talking about how grace is God giving us what we do not deserve, but we know that mercy is when He withholds that which we do deserve. And so we understand that there are things that we deserve that God is going to withhold from us. So really, it's a contrast to justice, isn't it? Because justice is really getting or receiving what we do deserve. But mercy is when God withholds from us that which we deserve. And we need to be Christians of mercy as well, where we're not always looking to retaliate, maybe perhaps, and to give somebody what they deserve, but yet to extend mercy. And so let's see one of perhaps the greatest illustrations that we could give in the Bible that God gives in the form of a parable here of this Good Samaritan. And look at what He says. I know that while we've been studying on Wednesday night, this was several months back now, we were going through the fruit of the Spirit, and we brought this up as an illustration during one of our lessons on Wednesday night, this story of the Good Samaritan. But I think it pictures mercy so well for us. So notice what it says in verse 30. It says, "And Jesus answering said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side." Now, we gave you some thoughts even when we spoke about this several months back when we were talking about the fruit of the Spirit. We talked about how the characteristic or the character trait of the man in verse number 30 who stripped this man and who wounded him and he left him half dead, his mind or his character trait was the things that are yours are mine and I'm going to take them. And that's exactly what he did, didn't he? The thing that belongs to you, I feel that it's mine, and I have the right to be able to take it. And then we move to verse number 31, where we see this priest that passed by on the other side. Then verse 32, "And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. What's mine is mine, and I'm going to keep it," is what those two men said, didn't they? This is mine, and I'm not going to extend it to you. I'm not going to give it to you. I'm going to hold on to it. I'm going to keep it. But we know the story goes on with the Good Samaritan. Notice it says, verse 33, it says, "But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him, and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him." The Good Samaritan says, "What's mine is yours, and you can have it. What's mine, I'm willing to give to you, and you can have it." Just a spirit of mercy there. It says in verse number 35, "And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, he that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, go and do thou likewise." Be a Christian of mercy. Be a Christian of compassion and be willing to show mercy to others. What a great example we have that's given here in the Scripture of the Good Samaritan and how he's a wonderful picture of mercy. But I want us to see some truths about mercy. It is so important for us to see The first truth is this, and we're going to take you to several Bible verses tonight, and I hope you'll stay with me. I hope you'll try to find these Bible verses as we go through the Scripture tonight. But the first truth about mercy that I want us to see, which ultimately is going to lead us to understand that it's important for us to show mercy, and mercy does matter, I want us to notice, number one, that God is the source of all mercy. Number one, God is the source of all mercy. It springs from His very character, from His very nature. And we're going to see that throughout the Word of God. I want you to turn back to the book of Deuteronomy, a couple Old Testament verses that we'll look at. Deuteronomy chapter 4, and I want you to find verse number 31. And these are going to be some verses that we're going to use to show you that God is the source of all mercy. And this mercy that He is the source of springs from His very nature, from His very character. Deuteronomy 4 verse 31 says this, "For the Lord thy God is a merciful God. He will not forsake thee, neither destroy thee, nor forget the covenant of thy fathers, which He sware unto them." He's a merciful God. Look at Psalm, and we're going to be in Psalm for just a few verses. Psalm 103. And we're going to see several verses here in Psalm 103 about the mercy of the Lord. And as we go through these, here's what I want you to concentrate on, because we're going to get back to this in just a minute. I want you to concentrate on how the verse describes the mercy of God. So we saw in Deuteronomy that God is a God of mercy. But now I want you to notice as we go through Psalm 103 and some other verses here, how this verse describes the mercy of God. Look at what Psalm 103 says in verse number 8. It says, "The Lord is merciful and gracious. He is slow to anger, and He is plenteous in mercy." Notice the description of God's mercy. His mercy is plenteous. God is plenteous in mercy. Look at Psalm 103 down to verse number 11, if you would. "For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward them that fear Him." His mercy is great, isn't it? Then look down, if you would, at verse number 17. It says, "But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear Him, and His righteousness unto children's children." The mercy of the Lord is described as being from everlasting to everlasting. Look at Psalm 116, just a few psalms over. Psalm 116, and notice down at verse number 5. And again, notice the way that God's mercy is described in Psalm 116. And verse number 5, it says, "Gracious is the Lord and righteous, yea, our God is merciful." Similar to what we saw back in Deuteronomy chapter 4, that our God is a God who is merciful. Now, this one's going to be very familiar, but Lamentations, you know what Lamentations chapter 3 says about God's mercy, don't you? Lamentations 3, starting in verse 22, it says, "It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning." And then it says to finish off verse number 23, "Great is thy faithfulness." So what is true about God's mercies and God's compassions? They are new day by day. They are new morning by morning. And we need God's mercy day after day as well, don't we? And then look at in the New Testament now, look at 2 Corinthians chapter 1, and see what the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 1 and verse number 3. This will be the New Testament verse we look at. 2 Corinthians 1 and verse number 3. It says, "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort." We're thankful that He's the God of comfort. We're thankful that He's a God of mercy that's renewed every single day. And great is His mercy, and great is His faithfulness, and great is His compassion. So the first truth that I wanted you to see about mercy is that God is the source of all mercy. But then it leads us into number two. Truth number two about mercy, He plants or puts His nature of mercy within us, doesn't He? Within those who are His children. God puts this mercy within those who are His children. Mercy is a character trait that will manifest itself in a child of God. We said it at the title of the message, "Our mercy matters." We ought to be Christians that show mercy to others, and it ought to be a character trait which is manifest in our life as a Christian. The character trait of mercy manifests itself in the life of a child of God. He makes it possible for us to show mercy to others, doesn't He? And how do we do that? His Holy Spirit helps us, doesn't He? His Holy Spirit helps us to be Christians that are able to show mercy to other individuals. Look at Luke, if you would. Luke chapter number 6. And we're going to get back to something I just had you do a second ago. I had you purposely look at the way that God's mercy is described. I did it on purpose because I knew we were going to come to this verse in just a minute. Luke chapter 6 and verse number 36, it says this, "Be ye therefore merciful as your Father also is merciful." So truth number one was that God is the source of all mercy. And then truth number two is He is able to put within our nature, His nature as children of God. We're able to have this character trait in our life. He's able to help us show mercy to others. His Holy Spirit guides us. So the kind of mercy that the Father shows is the kind of mercy that we ought to be showing. Now that helps us with the exercise we just had, right? All right, how would we say our Father's mercy is shown? Well, we just read about it, didn't we? We read about how His mercy, the Bible says, endures forever. His mercy is new every day. His mercy is from everlasting to everlasting. The Bible described God's mercy as great. It described it as plenteous. The Bible talks about how that God even delights in mercy. And the God who is the source of mercy then plants His nature within us as children of God so that we can be Christians that show mercy to others. Our Father desires to see His children show mercy to others. Now here's a question as we move on in the message, and we're going to answer this question. How is it, who is it that God shows His mercy to? Who is it that God shows His mercy to? We're going to see this in some scripture here. I want you to look, if you would, and again, we're going to be going through some verses. Who is it that God shows His mercy to? Go back to Deuteronomy. We were in Deuteronomy just a moment ago. Deuteronomy chapter number 5 and verse 10. Who is it that God shows His mercy to? Deuteronomy chapter 5, and we'll look at verse number 10. Notice what it says about God's mercy here. It says, "And showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments." Who is it that God is merciful to? To those that love Him, to those that keep His commandments. If you would go to the book of Nehemiah, we know, and we're not going to go there right now, but if you would go to the book of Nehemiah, Nehemiah chapter 1 and verse number 5 to be specific, you could look at it later if you want, Nehemiah begins to offer a brokenhearted prayer. Because Nehemiah has been, a report has been given to Nehemiah about the city of Jerusalem. And Nehemiah finds out that the walls of the city are torn apart and the city's been, the condition of the city, and he begins his brokenhearted prayer to God. As he offers this prayer, of course, we realize that this is a time that is leading up to his coming back to Jerusalem for the purpose of leading a task to rebuild the walls. And boy, how God's people come together and the rebuilding of those walls take place. Well, what we read in Deuteronomy chapter 5 and verse number 10 is a prayer very similar to how Nehemiah offers his prayer to the Lord in Nehemiah chapter number 1 and verse number 5. He talks about God's mercy. And he talks just like we heard in verse number 10 there. He talked about how that God shows mercy to those that love Him and those that keep His commandments. So who is it that God shows mercy to? Those that love Him. Those that keep His commandments. If you would go a little further, and we're not going to do it tonight now, but if you would go a little further to the book of Daniel, you would go to Daniel chapter number 9, and you would get to verse number 4, And you would notice that in Daniel chapter 9 and verse number 4, Daniel is offering a prayer to the Lord. And his prayer is in similitude to what we just read there in Deuteronomy chapter number 5, and what we talked about was in Nehemiah chapter number 9. Nehemiah chapter number 1, I'm sorry. You get to Daniel chapter number 9, and he offers the same prayer to the Lord. He talks about God's mercy. And he says of God's mercy, God, I know that you're a merciful God. And I know that your mercy is extended to thousands of them that love God and that keep His commandments. Who is it that God shows His mercy to? God wants His children to show mercy, but who is it that He shows His mercy to? Those that love Him, those that keep His commandments. But number two, another group of individuals that God shows His mercy to, would you look at 1 Kings chapter 8? 1 Kings chapter 8, another group of people that God shows His mercy to. 1 Kings chapter number 8, and look down if you would in 1 Kings 8 to verse number 23. 1 Kings 8 and verse number 23, it says this, and he said, Lord God of Israel, there is no God like thee in heaven above or on earth beneath, who keepest covenant and mercy with thy servants that walk before thee with all their heart. Who does God show mercy to? Those that love Him, those that keep His commandments. Who does the Bible say God shows mercy to here in 1 Kings chapter 8 and verse number 23? Those that walk before thee with all their heart. Now, does that mean that God is only able to show mercy to those who are perfect? No, because we're not perfect, are we? But that's where God's mercy comes in. Because every time, even as we walk with the Lord, even as we love Him, even as we desire to follow and obey His commandments, there are times when we're going to come short, aren't we? And that's where God shows His mercy. That's where God is merciful. So who is God merciful to? Who does God show His mercy to? Those that love Him, those that keep His commandments, those that walk, according to verse 23 there, before thee in all their heart. But I want to show you another group of people that God offers His mercy to, and this is now going to extend to the answer being, who's God able to show His mercy to? Everyone. Look at what the Bible says in Hebrews chapter number 4, and we're going to go to verse number 16. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse number 16, and we're going to see three verses in this thought here about who God shows His mercy to. Hebrews chapter 4 and down to verse 16. I'd say this is probably going to be a familiar verse to you. Notice what it says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. Now we've been talking about grace on Sunday mornings. As we boldly come unto the throne of grace, and we've been talking about how God's grace is sufficient, when we come to Him and seek Him and come to Him boldly, what does it say we will obtain? That we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Isn't that a great truth there in verse number 16, that when we come to Him, we can obtain His mercy and His grace will be revealed to us. So who is it that God's able to show His mercy to? He's able to show His mercy to those who love Him and keep His commandments, all those who walk in His ways with all of their heart. But then He's also able to show mercy to those who come to Him. That's everyone, isn't it? Anyone can come to God. But then let's go a step further. Let's look at Psalm 86. Psalm 86 and verse number 5. The psalmist writes here in Psalm 86 and verse number 5, and it's important for us to know who the psalmist is here that's writing Psalm 86, because it's going to help us with this thought now. Psalm 86 was a psalm that was written by David. And if you go down to verse number 5 of Psalm 86, David says, for thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive and plenteous in mercy unto all them that, what? Call upon thee. Who is God able to show mercy to? God is able to show mercy to those who, according to Hebrews chapter 4, come to Him. But then He's able to also show mercy to those who call upon Him. Have you ever had a time where you've had to call upon God for mercy? Have you ever had a time where you've had to seek Him for mercy? Can I say that we have a wonderful picture in the Psalms of a time in which David had to call upon God for mercy? We know that David had a time in which he committed adultery with Bathsheba, and there are some specific psalms that are written that talk about David's confession before God. If you would go to Psalm 32, you'd be able to see his confession. And if you would go to Psalm 51, you would see the psalmist's confession as well. And I want you to notice Psalm 51 and verse number 1. After David had committed adultery with Bathsheba, he was confronted by the prophet Nathan. Remember? And the Bible tells us that he confessed his sin. And notice the same psalmist, Psalm 86, who said that God is plenteous in mercy to those who call upon Him. In Psalm 51, in verse number 1, the first few words say this: "Have mercy upon me, O God." The psalmist called upon God for mercy, didn't he? In Psalm 86, we read that he says, "Whenever you call upon Him, He'll be there to give plenteous mercy." And so who is able to receive mercy? Those who come to God in Hebrews chapter 4, those who call upon Him. But we want to go a step further. We want to look at Proverbs chapter 28 as well. Proverbs chapter 28, and we want to notice one more verse that helps us to understand who is it that's able to receive this mercy. Proverbs 28, and we want to look down at verse number 13. Proverbs 28 and verse number 13, it says this: "He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy." Who is it that's able to receive this mercy? Well, all those that come to Him, and then all those that call upon Him, but all those who confess before Him as well. Aren't you thankful that extends to every one of us, doesn't it? Those who are able to come to God, those who are able to call upon God, and then those who are able to confess to God the things that they've done wrong. There's some times in our Christian life, we've needed to confess, haven't we? And we've needed to know the great truth that God's mercy is there to help us and to forgive us when we've done that which we should not do. One more thought here under this question: who is it that God is able to show mercy to? We said those who love Him and keep His commandments, those who walk in His ways, those who call upon Him and come to Him and confess Him. But then let's look at one more thing. Look at Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 7. Matthew chapter 5, of course, part of the Sermon on the Mount that's given. Matthew chapter 5. Look down at verse number 7 of Matthew chapter 5. Here's another group of individuals that are able to receive God's mercy. Verse 7, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." Who are the ones that are able to receive mercy? The ones that are able to receive mercy are the ones that are showing mercy themselves. "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." Our receiving mercy is really connected to how we're able to give out mercy. Look at in the Old Testament a similar verse, 2 Samuel chapter 22. 2 Samuel 22, and we'll look down to verse number 26 of 2 Samuel 22. Very similar thought of what we just read. It says, "With the merciful thou wilt show thyself merciful." He goes on to say, "And with the upright man, thou wilt show thyself upright." With the merciful, God will be merciful. We are, as we're showing mercy, really setting the standard ourselves for the mercy that we're going to receive. Hey, let's be merciful Christians, and let's realize that as we are, God will extend His mercy to us. Let's finish with just a couple thoughts, and we'll be done. Some reasons why we need to show mercy. Everyone needs mercy, and as Christians, mercy does matter. Some reasons why we need to show mercy. Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 5, lets us know one of the reasons why we need to show mercy. Ephesians 2, verse number 4, it says this: "But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us." What's one of the reasons why we ought to show mercy? Because God has been merciful to us. I need to be merciful to others. I need to show mercy to others because God has been merciful to me. We deserved God's justice, but instead, He gave us mercy. The Bible says in Genesis chapter number 32, Jacob was on the route to visit his brother Esau again. Remember the last time he had left Esau? Esau was quite angry with Jacob, wasn't he? Because Jacob had done some things. Jacob had stolen the blessing from his brother Esau. Remember that story? Jacob had tricked his brother out of his birthright. And Jacob took off and he's fleeing from Esau. But now there's the time in Genesis chapter number 32 where he's returning, and he doesn't return the same man that he was when he left, because now he's returning and he's quite a wealthy man. He's got a lot of wealth. He's got a lot of possessions. But when we turn to Genesis chapter number 32 and we look at verse number 10, Jacob is remembering what he was. He's realizing how much mercy God had shown him. And here's what he said about that mercy. He says in Genesis 32, verse number 10, "I am not worthy of the least of all the mercies and of all the truth which thou hast showed unto thy servant. For with my staff I passed over this Jordan, and now I am become two bands." Have you ever had a time in your life where you would say to God the same thing Jacob said, "God, I am not worthy of all the mercy that you have shown me"? Have you ever had a time where you felt that way before the Lord? God, you're a God of mercy, but I would just have to simply say before you, Lord, I am not worthy of all the mercy that you've shown me. That's what Jacob says. Jacob realized how merciful God was. We need to show mercy to others because of the mercy that God has shown to us. But then number two, why do we need to show mercy? Because God commands it. God desires that His children show mercy. It's something that's necessary for us as God's people. We need to be Christians and God and children of God and sons of God that show mercy. And then number three, why do we want to show mercy? Because we need to realize that in the future we may need God's mercy. In the future we may need God's mercy. Hey, let's show mercy to others because in the future we're going to need God's mercy. Listen, in your life right now, you are not at a point where you would say you are done needing God's mercy. You're still going to need God's mercy until the day He takes you home. And so let's be Christians that are merciful to others, knowing that there's times in our life while we're here on earth when we're going to need the Lord to continue to show His mercy to us. And then here's another thing I think is so true about mercy. When we show mercy to others, it produces joy in our life, doesn't it? You think about the Good Samaritan, what he was able to do to show mercy. I think he left rejoicing. You read that parable, and you see the ones that walked around on the other side. But then you see the Good Samaritan that helped, and I think it was with great joy in his heart that he was able to do something for someone else. He was able to show mercy. And I think that's the same joy that's in the heart of God when He shows mercy to His children. It ought to be the same joy that's in our heart when we're able to show joy to others. And we'll finish this tonight. This is going to be our application tonight. Our application is this. This is what we want to put into practice. This is how we want to respond as God prompts us tonight with this message. How is it that we can show or practice mercy in our lives? There's a couple different things we can do to show mercy. We could be people that are willing to forgive. People that are willing to forgive. What a wonderful picture of mercy when we're willing to forgive. We're willing to give people a second chance. Instead of becoming bitter about maybe things that have taken place in our life, we just say, I'm willing to forgive. I'm willing to extend mercy because of what has been given to me. I'm willing to give that person a second chance. Just the willingness to practice mercy by forgiving. And then, another way that we can show and practice mercy, we can show it with our words and with our actions. Maybe a way of showing mercy would be just to come along beside somebody who's hurting. Come along beside a person that's hurting and help them. Come along beside a person that's needy, just like the Good Samaritan did. and He provided for a real need that was there. So as Christians, if we're going to be merciful in our words and our actions, we've got to be aware of people's needs, don't we? We've got to be aware of the fact that there are hurting people around us that need us as Christians to show them mercy. We've got to be sensitive to the needs of others, sensitive to the hurts of others. We've got to be alert and looking for opportunities that God can give us in our words and our actions to show mercy. And then a third way that we can show or practice mercy is to react correctly. To react correctly. So some examples of that would be to show mercy by loving the unlovable. A way to react the correct way. Extending mercy to somebody. Love those who are unlovable. I often say about that, we all have times where we're unlovable, don't we? And God loved us even when we were unlovable. So to extend mercy in the way that we react by loving the unlovable, being kind to those who maybe have had a time where they've offended us, be willing to be good to those who have hurt us, be patient, our reaction to be patient towards others, a good way of showing mercy to be patient and maybe not give somebody what we think they deserve in our impatience. And so let's learn to be patient and react the correct way. And then I thought about this. A wonderful way to show or practice mercy. And I'm going to give you an example of this I guess would be true of me. I don't know if it would be true of you or not. But I thought of this to relinquish our control when we need to. I wanted to give you an example of this. There's times in our home where we've tried to allow our girls to see an example of what mercy is. Now, as a dad and as a mom, we obviously have control of the situation. We can do what we see fit when it comes to a punishment. But isn't it great that sometimes you relinquish that control when maybe there's the time comes where it's needed and just say, hey, I'm going to extend you some mercy. Now, I have the ability, I have the control to do something else, but I'm just going to relinquish that because I feel like it's needed right now. And we've looked at our girls from time to time and say, hey, we're going to show you some mercy. We're going to show you something that God has shown us before. And so relinquish that control when it's needed to get to that place where we're showing or practicing mercy that way. Hey, let's be Christians that realize that mercy matters. Let's be a church that shows mercy to others and is merciful and kind and compassionate to others. Because our mercy does matter. We see a wonderful example of the Good Samaritan. The ultimate example is God. But then He passes His nature on to us. And by His Holy Spirit, He enables us to be Christians of mercy, to be merciful Christians. And so let's do that tonight. Let's practice being Christians of mercy. Why don't we bow our heads and close our eyes, and as we allow Miss Dawn to come to